Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. For questions, you may dial star one at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press 00 on your push-button phone. Now, I would like to turn over the call to Mr. Stephen Houghton. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, very good morning. Welcome to this conference call on DSM's results for the second quarter of 2016, which we published earlier this morning. Sitting here with me this morning are both Mr. Feike Sijbesma, CEO and Chairman of the Managing Board of DSM, and Mrs. Geraldine Matchett, our CFO, and also a member of the Managing Board. Now, they will elaborate on the results, and after that, both of them are available to answer your questions, and we have until 8:30 this morning. Now, I'm obliged to remind you that today's presentation can contain forward-looking statements, and in that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. I'd now like to hand the call over to Feike and Geraldine. Feike, please go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Also welcome from my side. And before we get started with Q&A, a few highlights, please, on the announcement of this morning. Our positive momentum from the first quarter has continued, and we are pleased to deliver another strong quarter. This second quarter was driven by good growth across all our businesses, nutrition and materials, and steady progress in all our operations. And furthermore, we remain on track, and this has been a great support also with our ambitious improvement and cost-saving programs. Now, looking at the Q2 results more in detail, and starting with the company as a whole, the group net sales in the quarter was up almost 2 billion euros in total. Organic sales growth underlying was good, 5% versus prior year, which is pleasing, and again, both in nutrition and in materials. The group EBITDA was also up, strongly up, 18%, to 328 million euros. And we have shown strong improvement also in our return on capital employed, which was low last year with 7.4, and this quarter we ended up at 10.5, so quite an improvement. And we are returning an interim dividend of 55 cents per ordinary share, we confirmed today, and we have revised our outlook for the year upward. While we realize the global macroeconomic developments remain a concern and uncertain, we now expect that for 2016 we will deliver full-year results ahead of our medium-term goals set out in our Strategy 2018, which we updated all of you in November 2015. And that's all given the strong performance of our business, underpinned, of course, by our continued progress and improvement programs. And this results into an EBITDA growth for the year, moving from high single digit, which we have said earlier, into low to mid-teens. And an increase of our ROCE from what we said earlier, high double-digit basis points increase, to over 200 basis points increase in 2016. Now, shortly about the different businesses. Materials performed particularly well. Good volume growth, up to 5%, outperforming the market growth. Strong growth, especially in the specialty segments, which we are focusing on strategically. And that compensated more than that we had a little bit lower volumes in the polyamide 6 polymers. EBITDA of the materials increased 10%. Margin was also strong, 18.3%, reflecting favorable product mix, focus on the specialties. Continued benefit also from the low input cost, oil and oil derived and connected products, and the benefits, of course, from our cost savings and improvement programs. Nutrition, organic sales 9%, with both in animal and human nutrition contributing. Animal nutrition delivered high growth, premix, volumes in vitamins, eubiotics, etc. But also our human nutrition business delivered solid growth, in line with our medium-term plans to outgrow even the market. And in particular, our consumer business, our B2C business, iHealth, showed fast growth. And the efforts we have been making in nutrition have resulted, again, in EBITDA growth, 14% up, and also an improved margin. You remember last year we had an EBITDA margin of 16.7 for nutrition. This quarter we ended at 18.3, so also good improvement. One of the other topics on the non-core, non-strategic joint ventures, I think you've seen all that Patient, one of our pharma joint venture ships, has had a successful IPO in July, and we sold a part of our shareholdings in that company via this IPO. And we expect from this step a total cash proceeds around $240 million and a book profit, which will be in the third quarter, of around 220 million euros. On top of all of this, we still hold around 34% of Patien. And as we have said before, all these partnership Patien, but also the other pharma joint venture in antibiotics with the Chinese, and also Chemical Invest with CVC, we would like to divest and monetize those non-core joint ventures over the coming years. They are already all deconsolidated in our results, but you can expect these kind of strategic steps, and we were happy with the step we could take with Patien now. Now, wrapping up, all in all, pleased with our performance in the second quarter. Again, good growth across all our business, steady progress in our operations, remain on track with our ambitious improvement programs, revising our outlook upwards. Of course, we realize still a lot to be done in the company. We don't let ourselves being carried away by the success. There's a lot to be done. But if I look back to where we are at this moment, pretty much on track or even ahead of that. Steve, back to you or the operator for questions.
So if we could open the floor for questions, please, operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. If you have a question, please press star one and go ahead. We have the first caller. It's from Mr. Ilko van Groningen. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. Let me start with my first question, where you more or less ended on the joint venture side of things. Can you give us a little bit of insight in how soon do you intend to fully exit Patien? And how are you going to reinvest, or maybe not reinvest, but what are you going to do with the proceeds? And if I can maybe right away also look a bit further ahead in time, I think Sinochem is likely a joint venture that you will exit next, and only after that Chemical Invest. But is that a way for you to maybe further strengthen the nutrition side of the business, or could it also be that proceeds would go towards maybe materials?
Thank you. We have said we have three big joint ventures, indeed, with the Americans in pharma, JLL, called Patien, which we IPO now, with the Chinese in antibiotics, and with CVC in Chemical Invest. And all three, indeed, we said, are non-core, non-strategic, and we hope in the coming period to divest or monetize all of them. On Patien, this first step of the IPO creates automatically a 6 months lock-up period, so don't expect that in the coming half year we will divest any of our further interest. That would be impossible. And after that 6 months, of course, it's open to divest. At a certain moment, we will, but it will be dependent on several elements, and one of the elements which might be there is, of course, what will the company perform in terms of its own performance, the share price, etc. You can monitor that now daily at the stock exchange because it's a quoted company of which we hold 34%. And if we think it's the right moment, we will further divest, but not in the short term because of the lockup. Of the joint venture with the Chinese, I need to see. There are several ways, of course, to take next steps, but I'm not going to elucidate on what we could theoretically do. When we make steps, we will announce it. On Chemical Invest, it's less than a year, it's almost a year that we have this joint venture, so it may be too early to talk about any exits. We still need to improve the business together. But also there, at a certain moment, the exit will be at the table there. It is a little bit early right now. At the end, all kind of calculations about the total proceeds and refer to all kind of analyst reports. You can check yourself where people think the total proceeds could be. Well, I'm looking to Geraldine. In first instance, the proceeds will reduce our net debt automatically. And of course, we can use the proceeds at a certain moment for acquisitions and strengthening our business, both in nutrition and materials. But timing and all of that to be determined later on. We have said earlier this year that at this very moment we don't want to be involved in big acquisitions. Smaller can also be, but bigger acquisitions not at the table right now, because we want to focus the company fully on improving its results. So there we are right now. Geraldine, any?
Thank you.
Yeah. Next question is from Mr. Thomas Asket. Go ahead, sir.
Hello there. I just wondered if you could elaborate a little bit on, you mentioned that as you were raising your outlook, you also mentioned the range of uncertainties. And I was basically wondering if you could elaborate on what those uncertainties are. What are the risks that could derail your optimistic forecast? And specifically, I was wondering if there's any direct Brexit impact that you could discuss.
I mean, the world economy did not really improve in the second quarter or the first half year. We see concerns in Brazil. We see some slowdown in China. We have seen the concerns about Brexit in Europe, uncertainty about upcoming leadership changes in the United States and the economy over there, etc. So I think the world is not short of uncertainties and events and all of that. And therefore we say we need to view our, let's say, successes, because we're doing very well, into that context, that we are not immune for what is happening in the world around us. Now, we have changed our portfolio and think we are well positioned. We are reducing our cost position with all our programs, and both are very helpful. But we just want to flag that we are operating in the same world that everybody is operating on, and also in our company is still a lot to be done. And that is what we would like to flag. No clear specific risks with us.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Hans Verbraken. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, Feike and Geraldine. My question is about the sales of performance materials. They were lower by foreign exchange effects, but also by price mix. What can you elaborate about the price mix development?
Yeah, it's always good to look to our materials business, and if you look to the growth, the volume growth was 5%, so very, very strong, and especially in the specialties area. Now, the price effect was heavily down, and why? Because we buy a lot of oil-derived or oil-linked products. And since the oil price was down compared with last year, all kind of raw materials which we purchase are cheaper, and that normally you pass on in your end prices. And if they increase, you pass it also on in your end prices. So your end price fluctuates a little bit with your raw materials, which you buy cheaper or more expensive. And therefore, you see this quarter, compared with last year, a decrease of price. Now, if you look also to the margin, you saw on the margin even the opposite, an increase of margin. So the benefit we got from the lower purchasings, we did not all pass on to the market. because we could increase our margin, especially in the specialty products. In other words, you should not look into materials like, oops, the sales decreased there. Basically, the business increased there, looking to the volume growth, looking to the margin growth, and yeah, the raw materials you pass on. That's the way you should look to our materials business.
And next question is, you said a few minutes ago, there's still a lot to be done. What do you mean by that? In the sense of reducing your cost position?
Well, in all areas, we have said last year in 2015, we believe that we have created a portfolio with a lot of opportunities, but we need to capture all those opportunities also, and I mean to capture that in the market, that being with the right customers, finding the right growth segments globally, but in the right segments. If you look to our materials business, focusing more on the specialties than the polyamide 6 polymers. So finding the right segments, finding the right customers, finding the right spots for growth. And we are doing that successfully, but we need to continue with that. That's one. And the other thing is that we're on track with our whole improvement and cost reduction programs, but we are roughly halfway. We have a program up until 2018, which we announced. And I think we are pretty much on track, even maybe a little bit ahead, but not yet finished. So still a lot to be done also there. So I don't want to give the impression that we are done. Still a lot to be done. And also, like I mentioned before, we are not immune for what's happening around us in the world. And we see the same developments in the world. And we need to be close to the ball to see what's happening around us and to be remaining successful. But so far, I mean, if I look to first half year and if I look to our outlook for second half year, we do well.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Bart Meyer. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. To follow up on your remarks on the right customers and work that needs to be done, you flagged that the markets for multivitamins in North America remained weak. I was wondering what you can tell us about your expectations there. Do you expect to be able to improve those results in the coming months, or what are your plans in that market?
Yeah. That's not the easiest market which we have, multivitamins in the United States, but also omega-3 in the United States. Outside the United States, those markets are growing, so there we do well. Inside the United States, we have done some marketing campaigns. We will push also in the second half year some of our marketing campaigns again to get more traction of those products, but not totally easy in the United States. In the omega-3, we did some investments last year to position ourselves, especially in the high-end omega-3 products, the more concentrated specialty products, which is doing better. But in total, that market is not doing excellent in the United States yet, already for quite a while, but I see the short-term improvements yet. Outside the markets, United States is doing much better. And once again, we continue to push and to reposition ourselves. Our B2C business in the United States, our eye health business, is doing partly with a little bit the same scope of products, not exactly, like probiotics with Cotterell, etc. That business is doing very well, to be honest, also in the United States.
Yeah, and with multivitamins, is this mainly due to competition, or what is
No, we don't lose any market share. Our market share is pretty solid. But just the growth of the market, we need to realize that if you talk about multivitamins, omega-3, the United States is already one of the most, I don't want to say saturated market, but the market is not the lowest consumption per capita in the world. So the potential of growth outside the United States per capita is, of course, much higher than in the United States.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Bart Koster. And go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. I was a bit surprised when you were talking some minutes ago about some geopolitical uncertainties, where you also mentioned the United States. I was just wondering what exactly you mean by that. That's one question. And the other question is, now that you have revised upwards your outlook for 2016, will you also revise upwards your targets for Strategy 2018 program? Thank you.
Okay. No, I was not specifically elucidating on the United States economy, and if you got that impression, let me correct that. I only say all kinds of changes in the world, changes in leadership, always need attention, concerns about certain pockets of the economy, mentioned Brazil and potentially China. Impact of Brexit and China, etc. So no specific things on the U.S. It's even as an economy doing relatively well. So no specifics there, but I just want to flag that we are not living in a world without changes. I think we're not short of changes and developments in the world at this moment, and just want to say that we as a company should therefore say we will not be immune for any changes. So let's be close to what's happening in the world. Our targets, we said we revise our outlook for the year. Maybe Geraldine, you can say something about it and whether it will result in any longer term changes, you said.
Good morning, everyone. Indeed, we've revised our outlook for this year on the basis of a very strong H1. If you remember, in our strategy, our aim is to grow our EBITDA high single digit. And given the growth of 18% EBITDA in H1, it's very much looking that we will be exceeding that for this year. Now, that does not put us in a position, at least as yet, to say that this will necessarily reoccur in 17 and 18. If anything, of course, the stronger 2016 is, the higher the base to then keep on going. So it's a bit too early to say that this will necessarily lead to a restatement, but we will see as we go forward. And, of course, as we get through our second half of the year, we'll be able to provide more clarity on 2017.
Okay. And then additional, you say in the press release that you have the intention to outpace market growth in key segments. How successful are you in this target?
Well, indeed, what we have seen is that pretty much in a lot of our segments, we have been able to do that. If we look at the results in materials, for example, you see there that the favorable margin, which, by the way, at 18.3 is pretty much a historical high, comes from the fact that we've outpaced the growth in our specialty products. So that is a very good example of where we've been ahead of market growth. We also see that even at the normalized level, human nutrition has been growing very well. And now we have been on several quarters ahead of underlying market growth in animal nutrition. So this statement very much remains valid. And that is one of our two big pillars for our strategy. One is pushing that growth, and the other one is our self-help programs addressing our cost structure.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Elko van Groningen. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Yeah, to get back on what you just said on restarting the marketing in the U.S. on multivitamins, omega-3s in the second half of the year, is it going to be a similar sort of campaign that we've seen before together with other companies in the same space, multivitamins and omega-3s? And can you elaborate a little bit on how much money you've reserved for that?
We have some additional marketing campaigns in the second half year. Those will be a little bit different than what we did before in the total setting up from the industry and together with other people. We will continue with that. We have still some actions running, and we will also do that in the second half year. But we will also push a little bit more our own products, especially in the whole eye health field. with ESO, with Culturel, etc., our own B2C products, which can also help to drive the whole category into this field of nutritional products. So it will be a few marketing campaigns, continuation with other industry partners, but especially also pushing our own products. I don't know, Geraldine, Dave, what we can say about the size of that.
No, I mean, actually, we have been preparing in the first half, and what we're looking at is that these marketing campaigns, although they are staggered, will probably amount to a bit more than 10 million overall, but that we will see over time. And as I said, it's a staggered campaign, so there are different pieces.
And when we're talking about 10 million, that's euros? Or is it dollars, because we're talking about the U.S.?
It's really, we've highlighted one. So here we're talking about the total envelope. So we're talking euros overall for the company. But this is a figure really with different pieces of campaign. So this
sure.
is not all about the U.S.
Okay, great. Thanks much.
The next question is from Mr. Thijs Roesken. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you. I have one question. It's on currency effects. I saw some negative impact. Can you tell me how you try to reduce it?
Okay, so the negative currency effect that you see is very much on the top line. What we're seeing that in the quarter, this is coming mainly from the weaker Brazilian real as well as the US dollar when you translate it back into euros. Now, the overall impact on our profitability, on our EBITDA, was actually broadly neutral for the quarter. And this is partly to the fact that the Swiss franc, which is one of our cost-based currencies, is a bit weaker as well, and that we take several measures to make sure that we are not squeezed in terms of our profitability. But the top-line translation will always remain there due to those currency movements.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions.
Thank you very much indeed. Operator, well, I think it's 8:30. And I think that's the time for us to move to our closing statements. Of course, you guys, if you've got any questions, you know where to find us during the day. Now I'd like to hand over to Feike for his final statements. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all very much for calling in this morning. And I think as we have elucidated, all in all, has been a good quarter, strong quarter. First half year of DSM, we are pleased with our business performance. We continued the positive momentum of Q1 also in this second quarter. Good growth across all our business, good profit improvement across all our business, steady progress with our operations, on track with our improvement and cost reduction programs. And we realize that the macroeconomic developments are not stable and have not been improving this first half year. So we remain very close to that and how could that impact us. Nevertheless, we now expect to deliver full year 2016 results ahead of our medium-term goals set out in our strategy 2018 as shared in November 2015. And that means an EBITDA growth for the year 2016 moving from high single digit into low to mid-teens and an increase of our ROCE from high double digit to over 200 basis points. And like I said, we are not being carried away by our success, a lot to be done, but we delivered a very strong quarter and a very strong first half year, and we look with full confidence to the future. Thank you all very much for joining, and we will speak to some of you maybe later on during the day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Feike. Thank you, Geraldine. Thanks, everyone on the phone. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you for your participation.